Hello, this is Mace Haroff, and welcome to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast, the podcast for medical sales professionals. Hopefully that's you. Otherwise, I really don't know why you're here, because all I talk about on this podcast is medical sales. And if you don't work in medical sales, you're probably going to find this, well, hopefully you'll find it interesting and useful, because there's other types of sales which are similarly high-stakes sales, such as medical sales is, and it will be useful to you. But right now I'm focusing on topics for medical sales professionals. That's what you do. You sell medical goods, services to hospitals, clinicians, healthcare providers, etc., etc. So let's talk about that. Today my topic is helping to drive home the fact that medical sales is a zero-sum game. In other words, when one of your competitors gets the business, that means that you're closed out. You don't get any. They're not sharing it with you. It's all theirs. They get the bucks and you get zero. The reason I am bringing this up is that very often I encounter medical sales professionals, and I'll be honest with you, I've even been in this situation myself back in my selling days, where let's say you have multiple products in your bag. This happens a lot in the orthopedic world, for example, where people are selling reconstructive products, but they're also selling trauma products. You'll see this in the cardiovascular world. You'll see it in durable medical equipment. You have multiple products, and one of your customers, it might be a doctor, it might be a physical therapy department, there's one of your products that they buy from you, and they buy it from you consistently. So they are a customer, you are a vendor, and in the customer's mind, they're giving you business. Frequently, when a salesperson goes back to expand that business, in other words, to sell other goods and products, the customer might say, "Well, listen, you know, I'm already giving you my wheelchair business. Don't try to get the crutch business as well. Don't be greedy." And fortunately, very few healthcare providers will say this, but some will say that. I remember many years ago, in my own experience, when I would have a large amount of, let's say, the reconstruction business in orthopedics, and I'd go to sell a trauma product, and the doctor would say, "Hey, Mace, let me ask you a question. You're doing pretty well with the hips and knees. You got a lot of business. I'm giving you all my business. Now you're asking me to, you know, for my plating business. Why don't we let that go to one of your competitors so they have a little bit of business? Don't be greedy." Now, initially, I thought about that. And quite honestly, I listened to the doctor. I said, "You know what? I'm doing pretty good here with the hip and knee business. I don't want to jeopardize that by ticking this guy off by coming after all of his business." In other words, be satisfied with what you have. Move on. Let the doctor share the wealth. Don't be greedy. And then it occurred to me, you know something? The plate that he's using, the one that I have, it's better. It offers some significant benefits to the patient and also to the doctor. So if I'm not discussing that with him, then I'm really doing a disservice to the doctor, and I'm also doing a disservice to the patient. So here's the mindset that I developed, and maybe this will be helpful to you, and this is what I teach in my seminars. When you have a product that really offers a tangible improvement over whatever the healthcare provider or the institution is using, your job is not to decide whether or not you're being greedy or whether you should let your competitor have the business. And by the way, that is a really stupid mindset. I promise you that your competitors are not thinking about you, and they're not thinking about your ability to pay your mortgage and put your kids through college and save for retirement. They're worried about themselves. So don't worry about your competitors. But let's get back to focusing on the healthcare provider. They have a job. Their job is to provide the best and most efficacious care that they can to their patients on a regular basis. In order to do this, they need the best and the most cost-effective goods and services possible. And the world is changing. So your job is not to decide whether or not they should hear about it. Your job is to have a discussion with them so that they can decide whether or not your product is a better fit than what they're using or what they're doing. And obviously, there are multiple advantages to having as much business with any one of your customers that you can. The first advantage is pretty obvious, isn't it? You're going to make more money. The more business you do with any one customer, the more valuable that customer is going to be to you because they're generating more revenue. But look at it this way. First of all, when you have a lot of business with that customer, when you're selling multiple products, you have multiple reasons to stay in touch with them. You can always follow up with them on key important issues relative to each product. I'll go back to the orthopedic example because many of you are in orthopedics, and I think most of you identify with the orthopedic industry in one way or another. Maybe you don't, but there's multiple products. There's always lots and lots of products for your bigger companies. They have myriad products. So let's say, again, you have the total hip business. You have the orthopedic implants with a customer, and you have a trauma product that is similar. It might only be similar, or maybe it's superior. But here's what happens. When you want to get back into that doctor's office to reconnect with him, maybe it's about a new product. One thing that always gives you a reason to talk to him is to explain some updates, new indications, problems, something that one of his colleagues is doing with a product he is already using. And by explaining this, you help to make him more aware and help to make the doctor better able to use that product or to choose the indications where it will work on a patient. So what I'm saying is it gets you back in the door. Okay, let's say you sell a total hip product and you sell a hip fixation product for fractures. You have reasons to go in on both of those products. It gets you back in the door. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, you know, I really don't need a reason to get back in the door. I've got great relationships with my customers. I could just walk right in there. That may be true, but it's great to have multiple areas to talk about. And one of the other things that this does is when you are able to discuss topics or indications or pathologies that are supported by your products, it gives you a more rounded perception in the customer's mind. In other words, you're not just a one-trick pony. You can't just talk in there about doing a hip fracture. You could come in there and talk about multiple things. You could talk about tib-fib fractures. You could talk about patella fractures. You could talk about shoulder pathologies. So you really start to become more of a resource in that customer's mind because the customer doesn't see you as just a one-trick pony, a one-product salesperson. So there is a real benefit to doing that from that perspective. But there's also another perspective where this is very, very valuable. The more products that you have with a customer, the less likely that customer is to entertain other vendors who sell the same product. Now, that's not to say that they won't. A lot of doctors have an open door policy, and certainly I like to think that people who have taken my training, regardless of whatever the customer is using, they're able to get in the door. So they're going to be able to get to that provider, be able to have the conversation, and be able to create the circumstances where the doctor will consider using their products. But by and large, in most situations, most salespeople aren't that good. Let's be honest. Most salespeople take no for an answer very, very easily. So when you are able to secure your borders, I talk about the borders because there's been for years in the United States, actually for as long as the United States has existed, but we hear about this today very often in politics, that our borders are wide exposed, our borders to the south, our borders to the north. And it occurred to me that many medical sales professionals, they don't pay any attention to their borders. Their borders are wide open. By borders, I'm talking about the ability of their competitors to walk right into their accounts and present products to their customers. So, for example, let's say that, again, I'm using the orthopedic example. Let's say you sell a total hip, but your borders are wide open for, again, let's say, a hip fracture product. Well, one of your competitors, who also sells total hips, by the way, your competitor might know that he doesn't have a significant shot right now at getting in to discuss total hips with your doctor because your doctor is already using your total hip and is very happy with it. But he might be able to work his way in through the back door by going in to discuss his hip fracture products. Now, here's something about hip fracture products for those of you who are not orthopedic reps. Hip fracture products, a lot of times when you get called in to use those, it's in the middle of the night. It's on the weekend. And you have lots of time to talk to your customers about anything you want at the scrub sink while they're doing these long cases. You could bring up these issues. And the next thing you know, let's say you're the total hip guy, and one of your competitors gets into the operating room with your doctor, and he has unlimited time to talk about not only his fracture products, but some of the cool things that his company is doing with their total hip. And the doctor says, you know what? That's pretty cool. You should come by my office and show that to me. So voila, what happened? Your borders just flew wide open. So when your competitors have access to your doctors because of other products that they sell that you're not selling to them, that leaves your borders wide open. So this gets back to the original challenge that I told you I experienced. That's where you have a fear of looking too greedy to your customers. In other words, you have some of their business and now you're coming in and you're going after more of that business. Here's the way I suggest that you approach it. First of all, don't make things up in your mind. If the customer doesn't say anything to you, then don't assume that they're thinking that you're trying to be greedy by coming after all of their business. But more importantly, if you have the right sales approach, and if you've been listening to me for any period of time, if you've been reading my material, you know that I do not espouse a product-centered sales approach. I espouse a customer-focused and patient-centric sales approach. So if you're approaching your customers, a doctor, a physical therapist, any type of healthcare provider, and the point of your discussion is to find out how they're addressing a particular situation and then to position your product as offering benefits that address some of the changes that they agreed would be beneficial with the pathology or the patients they're treating, guess what? No one is going to accuse you of being greedy. They're going to accuse you of being professional and helpful. Notice the difference. Notice the difference. You're not coming into the customer's office and saying, you know, hey, doc, you know, I want to show you my new hip screw. Because the doctor might think, you know, I already have a hip screw. I'm already giving you my total hip business. Why are you being so darn greedy? But if you instead approach that customer and say, doctor, I have a great way to save you approximately 30% of the time it takes to repair a hip fracture in the operating room. We could save the hospital a significant amount of money and reduce complications by 20%. Can we have a quick conversation? Is the doctor going to say, you want to save me money? You want to save me time? Man, you are one greedy sales rep. That's not going to happen. So a lot of it has to do with your sales approach. By positioning yourself as someone who is concerned about the doctor's well-being and the patient's well-being, you can no longer be perceived as a greedy salesperson. And at the end of the day, probably one of the key reasons that you should go after as much business as you can with every customer is because it's your job. That is, it's your job if you believe in your products, if you believe your products offer something significant to the customer and the patient that the customer doesn't have now, you need to do that. But don't just, when you're thinking about this, don't just look at it from a product standpoint. That's where a lot of sales reps make a big, big mistake. In other words, using the orthopedic example again, two hip screws, if you put them side by side, they often look pretty much the same. So one sales rep might say, well, you know, my hip screw is no different than that guy's hip screw. Why would he want to buy it? Well, first of all, if you're in a situation where your product is almost identical to whatever a customer is using, how are you going to sell yours? The only way you could sell your product is by differentiating your product from what the customer is using now. If you can't do that, you can't sell it. So if two products are identical, how else can you differentiate that product? Well, you might be able to differentiate the product by some of the instruments that you have available for implanting that device. But don't just look at the tangible products. Look beyond the tangible products. What sort of intangibles do you offer? In other words, how do you provide service or knowledge or technique in a way that your competitors don't or can't? Because that greatly expands the value proposition beyond the product. So getting back to what we're talking about, any products that you don't think you have a shot at selling because they're too similar to what the customer is already using, and you have concerns about how the customer might perceive you coming after all the business, remember that you have the ability to differentiate your product. Yes, you, every time. You can create a different buying experience. You can create a different experience when the customer is using your product. And you could create a different experience when you provide service after the sale. You're able to differentiate on multiple levels. So if you can differentiate your product, then you have something tangible to walk in and offer them, regardless of what they're using. And not only is it good for you, it's good for the customer, because when you are able to provide a better experience, better outcomes, and consistent value, then that customer has no choice but to move over to you. And they're going to see you ultimately as someone who is focused on providing value and not just selling products. So there's no such thing as greedy salespeople if those salespeople are truly concerned about providing something that is going to improve the provider's life and the patient's life. So you are not a greedy salesperson. You have the opportunity to secure your borders, go after all the business you possibly can with all of the customers you possibly can. Because not only is it good for you and your company, it's good for your business, and ultimately, it's good for the provider and the patient. You know, every month I'm delivering either one-hour keynote speeches or half-day and full-day workshops to medical device companies just like yours. And do you know how they find out about me? They find out about me from their sales reps who listen to my podcast, who read my blog, who follow me on Twitter. If you think your company could benefit by having a very, very effective sales training program that not only teaches reps how to sell, it verifies that they have the skills to go out there and engage their customers in ways that convert business. Would you do me a favor? Would you let your manager or your VP of sales, let them know about me and tell them to check me out by visiting medicalsalestraining.com? Yes, it will be good for me because I will pick up a new client and some additional business, but I promise it will be very, very good for you and your company, because when your total company sells more, when they close more business, when they expand their customer base, it makes it easier for you because your products become better known in the industry. Thanks for spending some time with me this week on the Medical Sales Guru podcast. And remember, whatever you do in your medical sales career, don't forget the reason you do it. And the reason, my friend, is the patient. Whatever you do, the patient always comes first. Become a strong, powerful, and knowledgeable medical sales professional so you can sell competently, sell more, and make a difference. For the Medical Sales Guru podcast, this is Mace Haroff. I'll talk to you soon.